Hey, Dr. Mike here. Have you ever heard of spermidine? Stay tuned to learn what it is, how it works, and its potential for healthy aging.
You're listening to Live Foreverish, a show dedicated to helping you live just a little longer. Here's your hosts, Dr. Mike and Dr. Crystal Gossard.
All right, welcome to Live Foreverish. Dr. Crystal, you are so excited right now.
You know I am. Like, spermidine. I can't even be still in my seat.
Spermidine is, I don't think most people have ever heard of it. And we're going to present some amazing research studies on the potential for longevity with this weird thing called spermidine. Pretty cool, right?
Very cool.
We got to just jump right in. What is it? Why are we talking? What is it and why are we talking about it?
So it's a nutrient found in every cell, plant life, human cells. And it's a type of polyamine.
Polyamine.
Polyamine. And I, you know, I told Dr. Mike, I want to talk about polyamines a little bit.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, I think because it sets the, we got to tell the story. There's a story we like to tell in our podcast, right? So this is kind of your introduction, right? The beginning chapters. So let's back it way up.
Mm-hmm.
Forget spermidine for a second. Let's just back it up and let's talk about polyamines because it's pretty cool, I think.
Yeah, they are formed from amino acids. And arginine can be one of those. And these are compounds that contain nitrogen groups,
right,
or amino groups. We are familiar with amino acids. That's a type of amine. But this is another type of amine, polyamines, where you have multiple of those kind of nitrogen groups attached to this compound. And they are essential for the healthy functioning cell.
I like the way, so when we were reviewing this, and I like making these kind of comparisons for people because I think it's helpful, right? Because we talk about a lot of things that are important. we do. Everything we talk about is important, right?
I know.
But to put this into context, you had mentioned, you know, this is as important as making ATP, cellular energy.
Yes.
These polyamines and what they do is ranked way up there with ATP production.
Absolutely. They are needed for the growth, the proliferation of your cells, involved with DNA replication, even how those, when proteins are made in the DNA, how those proteins are kind of modified to perform a specific function, immune response. They control the intake of, or the transport of electrolytes in and out of cells.
Right.
I mean, this is at the core cellular function.
Yeah, that's so polyamines. Take center stage in cell health and cell function. And so it makes sense then to want to learn more about these, right? And then spermidine is a polyamine.
Right. It's a type of polyamine. There are three main ones, and we're focusing in on spermidine in particular.
Yeah. Now, the name comes from, because it was first discovered in seminal fluid and guys.
Yes. And you know, back in the day when you discover something in a particular...
You named it that
you
way.
You named it after that. Was before we realized it was in all of our cells.
Yeah.
So it would have been nice to get more of a universal name.
Yeah.
But...
Men, we did it. Spermidine. But that has nothing to do with sperm, so get that out of your head, because it's hard. So it's all about these polyamines. Spermidine is one of those polyamines. We just listed out for you all the important things that it does real quickly. We're going to go into a lot more.
Yeah.
But it ranks up there with all major bodily functions.
Right, yeah, bodily functions, and like so many other things in the body, they decline, or the production declines with age.
Yeah. This is, I don't know who this is from, but I'm going to read it anyways. Spermidine is synthesized by our organisms in sufficient quantities during youth, but not in old age. I mean, that's it. I mean, and listen, it is what it is. Part of aging is decline of certain compounds and things, right?
Right.
We lose hormones. We lose ATP production. We lose spermidines.
Yes.
Polyamines. Okay. Let's get into a little bit more... you know, why are you so, that's how I'm going to put it.
Okay.
Why is Dr. Crystal, because you just went over a whole bunch of stuff. We can just end the podcast right there.
Yeah.
Bunch of stuff, right? Ranks high, Take some spermidine. Done. But we wanted to kind of break it down a little bit more. And you've highlighted some stuff in your outline here of the things that got you excited.
Yeah.
Because I already know you're going to take this.
Absolutely.
And we'll talk about how you're going to do all that. But so let's start off because in my teaser, I talked about healthy aging,
mm-hmm.
right? Ultimately, longevity. Living forever-ish.
Living forever-ish. And I read something earlier today that really put healthy aging into perspective for those who are listening. And we know about age-related diseases, mm-hmm. cardiovascular disease, diabetes, dementia, Alzheimer's, you know, these diseases of the aging process. And if you find something that decreases those diseases of aging, that's improving health span.
Yeah.
Versus lifespan. So you just, it just helped me to kind of think about it in a very practical way of things that I want to avoid as I get older.
Right.
I want to not have a heart attack.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't want one. So you're using health span more and more, I've noticed in our conversation. So so maybe living forever-ish, yeah, strong, vibrant, whatever, but really is about health span.
Yes.
At the end of the day. But one of the things that has consistently shown to be good for health span and actually just chronological age, you know, is calorie restriction. So tell us how spermidine is related to that.
So spermidine is a calorie restriction mimetic, meaning mimetic. That you can receive the same benefits that you would typically get from restricting your calories, 20 to 30% of what you would typically intake from a daily caloric perspective, gives you all sorts of health benefits with clearing out your cells, longevity, better glucose, activating genes that control better metabolism. And it's very difficult to restrict your calories in that way over a long period of time. So something that you can take that mimics the effect that you would receive from restricting those calories is really what we're seeing with the spermidine.
Maybe a better way for us to start presenting this is to stop putting calorie restriction so up front because it's so hard to do, right? So instead, living longer, living healthier is about a cell being able to function longer, clean itself up, turn on certain anti-aging genes. One way to do that is restrict calories. Hard to do. Another way is, we just now learned, spermidine.
Right.
Yeah. That way you can still eat some food.
Very true.
Because life is so good and so about food.
Yes. Or you don't have to be on a treadmill for hours and hours a day.
So that was something I think caught both of our eyes. Mm-hmm. That we're looking this as a again, I'll say it, a mimetic or it mimics calorie restriction. So that's pretty at the high of the list. But then the research lays out this idea of cellular homeostasis. This is where, a cell's, it's doing everything the way it's supposed to do it. Let's just say that's homeostasis,
yes.
Right? And there's a whole host of things that come along with that. So let's kind of go through this.
Yeah.
Because this is an impressive list. Again, we're talking about when you increase spermidine levels in your body, you're going to see some of these kind of results. When you're younger, you got enough spermidine. You're doing pretty good. As we get older, we lose it, so we want to replace it. So here's some of the things. Healthy inflammatory response.
Yeah. Inflammation, chronic inflammation is a big problem that we deal with in our society,
common
especially the Western world.
Remember, we called the common denominator of age-related disease, right? Antioxidant. I mean, come on. Oxidative stress.
Our environment and just making energy.
Those first two, by the way, have been at the top of theories of why we age for decades.
Yes.
Right? Inflammation and oxidative stress. Better mitochondrial function.
More energy.
Got to make energy. Listen.
Making those cells work.
You could do all the exercise and good eating you want and da-da-da, but if you can't make ATP, you're not benefiting totally the way you could.
That's right.
I'm going to say this one. I'm going to skip this one for a second.
Okay. All right.
Because it kind of, to me, goes with the last one. Okay. Supports cognitive function.
Yeah.
I mean, come
Self-explanatory.
On.
Self-explanatory.
Yep. Protein expression. Now, why is that important?
Well, our proteins, and this goes back to kind of these polyamines and how they impact DNA transcription, translation. It's based, this is the message, these messages that the cell is, they're creating, and they're making these proteins that control everything in the body.
Right. Yeah. So you say protein synthesis critical, right?
Growth, repair.
So yeah, and here and that then what follows is cell growth, cell repair, tissue regeneration, DNA and RNA stabilization. That kind of all falls into that same kind of category. So that's your list there. Now there's one more thing or a couple more things, and I think when you and by the way, everything we just said are theories of aging. Mitochondrial loss, as we said, inflammation, oxidative stress, all of those things, dysregulation of protein, DNA, RNA, all of that has been well known for a while. Well, there's kind of a new kid on the block, kind of. I don't know. I'm gonna call him the new kid on the block of aging theories of why we age, and it's called autophagy. You wanna take a stab at explaining that?
Yeah, the autophagy. I can just. A nice analogy. It's like cleaning out the trash, taking out the trash in the cell, or recycling. Yeah. So, you know, in your home, you either, we have two different, on Fridays, you have the regular trash and recycle day. We put them all out in separate little piles. And both help to keep your house nice and clean. Decluttered, your space.
Yeah.
And so the same thing happens in your cells. Proteins or amino acid residues that we can't use or proteins that we no longer need, they get broken down and we can reuse some of those protein components or amino acids, taking out toxic components out of the cell. And so that's autophagy.
Yeah. And then mitophagy is kind of related to that, but that's the mitochondria kind of cleaning out everything as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's kind of the new kid on the block. I remember my first apartment in college, me and my roommate, we were really bad about taking out the trash.
Oh, goodness.
And we would like let it pile in the kitchen. And it got to the point where the kitchen could no longer function as a kitchen. It's kind of the same thing. But we finally get to a point where we got to cook. We got to do things. So we would take everything out, clean it up. And now it was good. Now the kitchen could be a kitchen.
Oh,
it's kind of the same. You just kind of disgusted, aren't you, right now?
Yes.
We were college kids. Come on.
Yeah, but I mean, you have to clean out old mitochondria, old cellular components. And so it's an important process to keep that cell functioning properly. Yeah.
Robson, notice Dr. Crystal moved right on from trash story. She didn't even really spend any time there. Okay, so there you go. No, and again, that idea of autophagy is really important. Calorie restriction, mimetic, plus all these other areas of homeostasis. It really comes down that, important. Spermidines. Polyamines, right?
Polyamines, yes.
So let's get into some of the human data, some of the research in humans. The first one is was based on dietary intake, right?
Mm-hmm.
This was published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, and they were looking at like high levels of intake, right? Moderate levels of intake, low levels. How were they measuring that intake?
This was through a food frequency questionnaire, over 100 different food items. And so you give the participants or the group of individuals, these questionnaires, and then you can kind of see, make these associations. Okay, the group that ate, you know, a high amount of these foods, what it was associated with these outcomes. And so when we look at this particular study in this group, we saw differences in mortality in the individuals who consume foods higher in the spermidine versus the groups who had the lower intake of those spermidine-rich foods.
Right. And so some of the foods, do you want to go over these now? Some of the foods that were likely on this, right? Wheat germ, right? We'll talk about that coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Legumes, soybean products, that would be, tofu, stuff like that. Vegetables, specifically broccoli, cauliflower, carrots, and mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have nuts, almonds, chestnuts, pistachios, aged cheese. I love it when cheese shows up on a list like this. Cheddar, Gouda, and Parmesan, and then seafood, salmon, tuna, shrimp.
Yes, and in this study, what they saw, just to be specific, the having the intake of spermidine in the top third in men and women was associated with a 39% lower risk, adjusted risk of mortality compared to those in the lower third of the intake of those foods.
Right. Now, again, disclaimer. I mean, listen, this is not, this is association. Mm-hmm. These are based on these surveys. We, you know, there's all, so what that tells us, let's get some more research going. The problem with this, though, it's really hard to do longevity, you know, research, yeah, right? Unless you got a lot of money, a lot of time, and a lot of people. Because,
mm-hmm,
you know, you know, technically you would start when they're young. You'd put a bunch of them on spermidine, and you would just watch them throughout their life, right? And that's just, right, it's not really not, right, it's really not feasible. Although maybe with AI stuff coming up, things may change. But anyways, right now it's just really not feasible. Mm-hmm. So instead, what would be nice is to, you know, maybe we could, instead of looking at longevity, let's start looking at some of those cellular homeostasis things.
Or, Dr. Mike, going back to the health span, you, instead of looking at longevity, if we know that we are targeting diseases of aging,
let's study those with this.
Right. Yeah. That means that ultimately you're targeting longevity if you can manage diseases that cause you to age.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we have some here. In humans, spermidine intake has been associated with lower blood pressure, a decreased risk of cardiovascular disease. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So right there, that's good stuff. We need more of that kind of information. There was an intervention study using spermidine that showed an increase in cognitive performance. And this was in people with dementia.
I love this. This is the research we get excited about, Dr. Mike. Yeah. Because we have gone from now association where we can't, there's no cause and effect. We say, oh, there's a relationship there. And so now we're getting down to business. Let's let's give a group of people spermidine or in this study, wheat germ extract. Let's give them this wheat germ extract and find out how their health improves.
So you got some on it. Other ones not on it. It's a true intervention. This wheat germ extract, it was, remind me, it was standardized to what comes out to about 3 milligrams
up to
of
about
spermidine.
3 milligrams of spermidine.
Yeah. And so that's kind of maybe where we're going to start focusing dosing, I think.
Yes.
With this. So that's great. So the intervention. So again, those observational studies should lead to more stuff like this. And mm-hmm, this is, and I think we'll see more with the polyamines coming in the future.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's get into now how, you know, so people are excited now. They're like you. I am interested too.
I mean, it's once you realize what it's doing in the cell and you realize, hey, as you get older, you're not making it. My first thought is, how can I get more?
I got to get back.
I need to ramp it up.
I need to get it back. So, I think, you know, our audience is we talk about hormone replacement, like mm-hmm, rank this kind of stuff up there with the hormones and stuff. And so, the first way to increase spermidine we have here is the gut microbiome.
Yes. The majority of spermidine is produced in the colon by gut bacteria. And so we have some research. Intervention research. Ooh. With individuals receiving a probiotic yogurt. They had higher serum levels of spermidine after 12 weeks.
Now that was the fortified yogurt versus regular yogurt.
That's important, Dr. Mike.
Yeah, right. So everybody was on yogurt, mm-hmm, right? But half were on this fortified one, half were on the other. And it was the fortified group that showed the benefit.
Exactly. As well as improved endothelial function. We know those are the cells lining your arteries. So better arterial health. Again, another outcome related to age-related disease.
What about food then? Now, we mentioned that survey. Did that, you know, as the clinical nutritionist, does that sound right to you? Does those foods seem about...
Sounds right to me. What I love about this, and I talked to you about this offline, Dr. Mike, the gross wheat germ shots. that I used to take. I didn't know that it contained spermidine. I had no idea.
Those are rough.
I just knew that bright green color. I just knew it was something that was good for me. And now I realize wheat germ, one of the good sources, soybeans also stand out as being higher food sources of spermidine.
How about the cruciferous vegetables? Look at shout out to them.
Well, yes, the broccoli, cauliflower, yeah. That was on the food list in that study.
Yeah,
that,
I love roasted broccoli and cauliflower.
Mushrooms. That's another. I'm not sure if you mentioned mushrooms.
I think I did.
I guess generally speaking, your fruit will not give you a lot of the spermidine.
It's the seeds, the nuts, the vegetables we mentioned, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then some of the seafood, like salmon, I guess.
Salmon, tuna, those are also sources.
We talk about this. It's the nutritional gap, between food and what, because what the research is now showing, and this is why intervention studies are so important, because they help to pinpoint how much we should be getting a little bit more, right? So we had that Alzheimer's study that we talked about, which was around 3 milligrams. So the question always becomes, I got my broccoli, got my cauliflower, have some salmon, but how much am I actually getting out of that? It's probably not the clinical dose of 3 milligrams.
Well, I mean, in the typical American diet.
Well, there's none.
We are lacking when it comes to the veggies. I mean, you look at the mushroom intake. Who's eating wheat germ besides, the person that's on purpose going to the juice bar and getting a wheat germ shot?
If we could find a really good healthy compound in French fries, we would do a lot better.
Maybe we could fortify French fries.
We should start. Let's stop fighting the sad American diet and let's just start fortifying everything. No, at end of the day, eat food first. Make sure you're getting these good foods, right? But again, how much you're actually getting, et cetera, et cetera. That's why it comes down then to kind of the nutrient add-in to your diet, your regimen. And in this case, your best option, because it's probably the easiest, is wheat germ. But you really want to now start looking for wheat germ that's standardized to these polyamines.
Absolutely. And we do know, and I just want to go back to your idea with getting it from the food. Even if you've always had a really great diet with these nutrient components, what you typically make, you're not making anymore endogenously. So we still have that gap.
There's still
the gap to try to make up for the age-related decline that you see when you get older.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, because when you're younger, maybe if your diet's healthy, you're getting some that way, but you're making it.
Right.
And at my age, I'm not making it anymore.
Yes.
And, so even if I am eating that decent diet, I'm still in that gap.
Right, because it's the combination, your overall spermidine in the body. It's a combination of the diet and what you're making.
I wonder, going back to food, do we know, sometimes how you cook food can be important to preserving certain compounds. Is there any, maybe we got to look into that a little bit more. If these are that important, is it better to oven roast broccoli versus boiling? I don't know. I'm just, or steaming it.
I don't know. I'm just now in my mind, I'm thinking about what these are, right? They are nitrogens. That's pretty, they can survive digestion.
Yeah, they're not volatile.
Right.
Yeah, they're going to hang around. So probably not as much of an issue for other compounds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's stick with that. I like that. Okay, so back to then, needing that nutrient add-in. Wheat germ is going to be it's the most popular source, right? And again, starting to look for that standardization. And I, based on the research, would you agree we're targeting around 3 milligrams a day?
Yes.
Yeah. And if it's wheat germ, I guess there's really no issue about when to take it.
You can take it anytime. With or without food. And I do want to comment, maybe a good probiotic as well.
Yeah. Why not? Get some of that that gut production going. Now, some people might say, well, why can't I just go back to doing my wheat germ shots? You could, but those aren't going to be standardized.
So you don't know.
You have no idea.
Right.
How much of the spermidine you're actually getting. So a wheat germ that's actually standardized, you want to look for that on the product label,
mm-hmm.
right? Based on this research, we might start seeing more and more of that standardization come out.
Yeah.
So you're going to start.
Absolutely. I mean, it's no doubt about it. You know me.
You try pretty much everything.
It doesn't take much. Well, I don't want to say it doesn't take much, but I'm convinced that it's something that that we are going to see more and more research. And I think we're ahead of the game, Dr. Mike. You know, I do my due diligence before we talk about something that's so novel, and I think that we're on to something.
I agree. I do think you're going to see a lot more research on this. And the thing that's compelling for me, I don't try everything. I know I do a decent amount of nutrient add-ins. I guess that's how we're saying it now.
Mm-hmm.
and all of mine are based on solid research for different reasons, cardiovascular, mm-hmm. inflammation, mm-hmm. brain, all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. But the thing that's compelling for me is I understand the idea that my body as I age is simply not going to produce certain things as well as it used to.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes sense to me, right? Yeah. So low hormones, I'm replacing hormones. Low spermidines, I'm going to replace. Like I get that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have any argument against that, even just with this research.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to try it too.
All right.
We'll see. Hey, you want more information about this? Life Extension, our sponsor, wrote a great article on this. It's live off the press, Dr. Crystal.
Hot off the press.
Hot off the press.
May 2024.
LifeExtension.com/magazine. Hey, when you're there, shop around. When you check out, use the discount code podcast, and you'll get 10% off $50 or more and with free shipping and handling. That's because Life Extension, again, who is our sponsor, just really appreciate you as an audience. And then don't forget, at liveforeverish.com, tons more episodes to go check out. Like, share, comment, and of course, please subscribe so you never miss a show. That's liveforeverish.com. I'm Dr. Mike Datz.
Dr. Crystal.
Thanks for listening.